Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be, well, first half hour of C.J. Lovick, who has the website The Story of Jesus. Hi, CJ. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, it's good to have you on. And, you know, I don't know, you probably didn't hear my interview this afternoon, but we were interviewing Lord Monckton, who is a member of the British House of Lords, really a fine gentleman, one of my favorite guests. And I was going to be talking to him about the sustainable development, global warming, but because of what's going on over in England, we got off on the subject of the rioting night after night. This would be the fourth night of major riots in England, and certainly just talking to him about the background of this. And of course, he's coming from a Christian point of view, and as he said, England has turned its back on God, and this is the end result. And when you do not have a moral restraint, you end up having moral anarchy. That's what's happening in England, and I fear that's going to really be happening here in the United States unless we return to the Christian roots that once made America the envy of the whole world. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why you have this wonderful website up there. Why don't you tell our listeners about The Story of Jesus, www.thestoryofjesus.
That would be my great joy to do that. The Story of Jesus was conceived because as I'm going through the pilgrimage of this life, I'm discovering more and more of my fellow citizens that know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. They either don't have a Bible in their home or they don't bother to read it. And I thought it would be important to reintroduce people to Jesus Christ. Now, we do not claim that this story is inspired, even though it is taken from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John exclusively. But what we want to do is in a narrative that's easy to understand, divided into over 150 sections, tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry and work on planet Earth, and what he accomplished for sinners on the cross of Calvary. So that's the purpose of it. We have a venue that's easy to understand. It's short. We advise people that have families. This is something they can read at the dinner table, reintroduce their family or introduce their family to the life and times of Jesus Christ. The story of Jesus is organized in a way that is easy to understand. When we finished the story, we gave it to friends that were not Christians, and they stayed up all night and underlined everything they didn't understand. So I thought they were pretty typical of the unreached, unchurched population of this planet. And so we took every single one of those words and researched it, put a hypertext link that explained what it was, and then went further than that and added some historical information about the life and times of Christ. So it's organized in a way to be educational, but also to be inspirational, to introduce people to the greatest man that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we really need, of course, I think, to get people to understand the fundamentals of Christianity. Certainly, there's so many people out there that have been programmed to think it's all simply a myth, a fable, but it's not. I mean, there's so much evidence that Christ lived. But the important thing was the impact that he had on the lives of his disciples, the other people who lived at that time. One of the greatest books I ever read was called The Greatest Story Ever Told. I read it when I was about 20, 21. Had a profound impact on me and did help me a decade later to become a born-again Christian. Well, CJ, you go right ahead.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Dr. Stan, because Peter was an intimate friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his book, which can be found in the New Testament, 2 Peter.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
But this was not simply a man. This was a man with supernatural power. You do not certainly have the ability to heal a leper, to walk on water, to all of the things that are attributed to him, and certainly not to be crucified and buried and then come back to life. There is a supernatural element. Of course, if you don't believe in the supernatural, of course, why, it's very hard to be a Christian. But when you are a Christian, you have to accept the supernatural element of what transpired at that time, because here were all these disciples who had been with Christ, and certainly they were also fearful when he was taken by the Romans and he was killed, and they thought they would be next on the line. And then to see him walk into a sealed room and spend probably close to a month with them off and on for the next month before he then was actually left the earth. I mean, this actually convinced them so much that all but one of them was eventually martyred. All of them gave their lives preaching the word of Christianity. Not most of them, not almost all of them, but all of them. All but one were martyred. The other one was John, who of course went off to Ephesus with Mary's mother and eventually wrote the Revelation and several of the other books of the Bible. But it is the most amazing story. And, of course, if it's not true, as Paul said, we have no hope. But if it is true, we have the promise of eternal salvation. And even times like this one, we begin to see everything we've believed about our country being eroded and destroyed. We have that eternal hope of salvation. Go right ahead, CJ.
Well, well said, Dr. Stan, and I couldn't actually say it any better myself. What we invite people to do is go to thestoryofjesus.com and take a couple hours out of your life and read The Story of Jesus. Then what we suggest you do is go to the Gospel of John and read through the Gospel of John, and there you will discover Jesus discloses himself to the reader. But I would make this further request. Before you go to the Gospel of John, get down on your knees and ask God to reveal his Son to you. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I'm the bread of life, in John 6:35. He says, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, I am in the world. I am the light of the world. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. We're the sheep, by the way, the sheep that hear his voice and follow him. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters in through me will be saved. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And more importantly, the one I love is, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. We're all going to die. It doesn't matter how great your investments are. You may miss what's coming, although most people will not. And by the way, this thing that's happening in London is absolutely tragic. People are losing their lives. But this is a torch and testimony to what happens to a nation that forgets God. You said it's coming here. Dr. Stan, it's here. It's happening in places like Philadelphia. And tragic, these flash mobs are, I don't know if they're imitating what's happening in London or what the motivation for it is, but there's a spirit of rebelliousness. But Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I can guarantee you one thing. The people participating in these mobs, they're hopeless. And they are not Christians. They do not have Christ in their heart, because if you have Christ in your heart, you have peace and you have hope. And in a world that's falling apart, we hear the words of Jesus that says, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, I'll come and I'll receive you unto myself. And that's our great hope, that our Lord is coming again to receive us to himself. We're not escapists. We just want to be with our Lord. And he gives us the promise that he's going to come and gather us together. What a wonderful hope that is. But it's only for those that have received Christ and put their confidence in him. And why should you do that? And the reason is because you, whoever you are listening to this, and I can say this, I don't have to know you, but I can say you've sinned against God. You have offended him mightily. But the good news is, God has sent a Savior for sinners just like you and like me. The gospel is this. Not only have we sinned, but God sent a Savior to save us from the consequences of sin. But more than that, he came to save us from the wrath of God. And whatever you think you want to escape, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the one thing you want to escape is the wrath of God. The wrath of Satan is one thing. The persecution of men, that's one thing. It's horrible. But the scriptures tell us something that I'll never, ever forget. It says, fear not those who can destroy the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. We need to get our priority. If we're going to fear something, let's at least fear the right thing. Let's fear God, not what's coming on this planet. We can prepare for that. But let's have a proper fear of the Lord. If you want to fear what's happening on the stock market, I feel sorry for you. By the way, you're going to get whipsawed to death on this thing. If you want to fear what's coming in terms of the food crisis or the gas crisis, I feel sorry for you. Yes, those things are coming, but they really have no eternal import. What has eternal import is your condition. Have you been clothed by the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Have you been covered by his blood sacrifice? Have you put your confidence, your faith, and trust in him? And if you haven't, I would just, again, ask you to go to the Gospel of John, get down on your knees and ask God to reveal his Son to you. And you know what? He will. God desires to save people. He loves people in this world, no matter what their desperate condition. And maybe the reason you're listening to this program is because you're full of fear, because everything that's happening in this world, and I'll tell you, it is on a human level extremely fearful. But God's people, He tells us not to have a spirit of fear. And the only way that's possible is that we have a confidence that's greater than this world has a confidence. This world's confidence is being shaken. Its confidence is in itself. God is shaking the very pillars and foundations of that confidence. We need to have a confidence, first a fear of God, that drives us to put our confidence and faith and trust in His provision for poor sinners like us.
I agree with you. I have this young man who keeps sending me emails and saying, how could a loving God want to send anyone to hell? I mean, how could a loving God possibly, I mean, if He's all-knowing, all-caring, all suddenly has all power into Himself, you know, He could save everybody from damnation. And suddenly, because this all is part of a litany trying to disparage God, and this man hates God, and he's got all of these arguments. He sent me three or four long letters, email letters, every single week, disparaging God in one way or the other. What he doesn't understand is that God is a God of love, but He's also a God of justice.
Yes.
And He's a God of wrath and of vengeance. And certainly everyone has the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. It is a free invitation. And all you have to do is accept Him in sincerity. And, of course, you have nothing to fear. But if you do not, you have a great deal to fear.
And absolutely.
And people don't understand that God is not only a God of love. He is also a God of justice.
It's interesting when you ask people what they need to be saved from, you get all sorts of answers. But the Bible has the answer. And the answer is we're to be saved from the wrath of God. The non-Christians may accuse God of not being loving and wondering why He, a loving God, could allow any pain or suffering to happen in this world. But let me, those people that have that point of view, let me tell you something. I don't want to argue with you, but I want to tell you the point of view that Christians have. The point of view that Christians have is, how can a just God, how could a just God be so merciful, gracious, and kind to send His Son to pay the sacrifice, the penalty for my sin, to live the life that I could not live, to take the penalty of my sin on the cross and bear it on Himself, to save me, a wretched sinner. Before, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He loved me. That's the question we're asking, not how can a loving God do this, but we just marvel that a just God is loves us through the sacrifice of His Son. That is the amazing thing for us. So I guess it's a matter of perspective. And in order to have that perspective, you have to become spiritually alive. And the only thing, the only way that can happen is by God's Holy Spirit. It's a miraculous act of God. And my prayer is that people listening to this will turn to the cross, look to the cross, and live, because they've received, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I would encourage people to, yes, the story of Jesus is wonderful. It's the story of Jesus. But y'all have a Bible. I mean, your grandmother's Bible. Go to a neighbor, borrow a Bible, and open up your favorite book, Dr. Stan, the Gospel of John, and just start reading it. But read it with a mind that says, God, reveal Your Son to me. And He will. That's a promise.
And so if you have a question at all for CJ, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But of course, you can find the story of Jesus simply by going to your computer, www.thestoryofjesus.com, or you can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and simply scroll down the home page there, and you come to a banner for the story of Jesus. You click on it, go there directly. But it's beautifully done, beautifully laid out, and of course the explanations are there. And once you've read it, then of course you can go to the scriptures and get the information firsthand. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is E.J. Lovick. We're talking about the website, The Story of Jesus, and it is up there, of course, on the Internet for one purpose, and that is to draw people into a personal relationship with our Lord.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Loves, but he also carries a copy of the Constitution with him because he recognizes that America is the only country that can bend to turn things around. And of course, the way things are going, I don't see much evidence that we're going to get turned around unless there's a massive revival in America. I don't see anybody not actually moving to lead that revival, but our job is to do our best to bring forth the gospel as much as we can to get people interested in listening to our programs, because they're interested about finance, about history, about something about politics, about health issues. But the real reason we do what we do, of course, is to hopefully bring people to a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, one very excellent means of accomplishing that would be go to C.J. Lovick's website, thestoryofjesus.com. C.J., you've got about, of 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Lord Monckton is probably right. We are probably, from this world's point of view, the last best hope. I've been listening to your program, Dr. Stan, for years. And I must say that in the last 6 months and in the last 3 months, it has become more and more riveting as what's happening in the United States and around the world begins to overlay what your guests are saying. Things that you've been saying for years are suddenly in sharp focus. But Lord Monckton is wrong if he thinks that America is the hope. Jesus Christ, I'd love for him to be right, but we have left, deserted our God. The only hope we have left is as individuals to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for our future and for eternity. I pray for America. And maybe there will be a revival, as you hope and I hope, but I don't see any evidence of it. What I see is just one thread being pulled out of this wonderful tapestry at a time, and a renting and a sorrowful, pitiful dismantling of all those things that we had in our memory, in our practice, but related to God. It all seems to be fading fast, and what's coming on the scene is dark and dangerous. If you want to avoid this, the only way to do it is to spiritually be prepared by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And, of course, Jesus is really the hope of the world. And certainly, whether the world will be survive, whether it will be saved, whether it will be destroyed, from the personal point of view of the people who believe in Jesus, they know certainly that they have here the hope of eternal salvation. Of course, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. And so we know we're going to spend eternity. And what a consoling thing that is, especially when you get to be 82 years of age. And you know, of course, that your time here on earth is not too long. So many of our friends are gone, and our relatives are gone, and our family is gone. But, you know, the knowledge that we'll see them once again is certainly gives great, great consolation.
Amen to that.
Well, CJ, certainly I'll give you about 2 minutes to wrap up the program here.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Friend of mine's father, who wasn't 85, much younger than that, just went to be with the Lord. So I've been reminded this week of the brevity of this life. Now, here's a man whose father loved and trusted the Lord. His sons and daughters loved and trust him. And the testimony at the funeral home was they had never seen people so full of faith and confidence. They had just had a funeral for an unbelieving man, and there was weeping and sorrow like you. It was almost like a riot. And then to have these group of Christians come in with their faith and their hope. Why is that? It's because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is making intercession at the right hand of the Father so that we can enter heaven without one blemish or mark against us. Because we've been perfect? No. But because our Lord is perfect, and he's clothed us graciously with his righteousness. And it's in his righteousness alone that we trust and have our confidence. So my last word is, please, friends, whoever you are, trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
And, of course, sometimes at one point or another, you're going to have to get down on your knees and ask him to take your life. It's a hard thing to do a little bit, but because it's not necessarily our nature. But it's a sign of submission. It's a sign that you really are going to turn your life over to the Lord. And if you do that in sincerity, and you actually ask Jesus to come into your life and take it over and direct you, it's the most amazing transition. You talk about miracles. This is truly is a miracle when your life is suddenly different. It was with me, and I'm sure it was with CJ and so many others. We're out of time. Good
Thank
night.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless.
While the This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
How are you?
Doing great.
Well, Cindy, we've been enjoying. I said we got a set of these seeds. Buck Keeley actually has seeds, and his website is Seed Catalog. Now, don't confuse it. The Story of Jesus. And don't go to the Seed Catalog. Go to seedcatalog.com, and of course, you can learn about the seeds, the various collections of seed that Buck Keeley offers. They're heirloom seeds. They're not genetically modified, and should we put them in? First time we've done this, and it's really been exciting. We've had string beans now for three or four nights, and certainly all sorts of squash, and all different types of squash. We got the smallest garden the Buck offers, but we have a little round squash, and we have the long squash, and we have the crookneck squash, and all sorts of various types of squash. In fact, I bought some plants down at the nursery. They're already growing, and they died on me, but the ones we planted from Buck seeds are doing very well. And Sydney, it really is rather an exciting thing to see them all coming up. Now, is it too late, or can we put in another crop of peas and beans?
This, once again, it depends on your growing area that you're at. If you're in Alaska, you're probably getting close to the end of your growing season.
Well, no, we're right here in the mid-coast of California. Here, and we're not in the hot area. We're a very temperate climate on the north shore of Monterey Bay.
I used to live in Monterey, so I know your temperature there. It's a beautiful place to live. This is a good time of the year for folks to be considering putting in their fall gardens. This is a good time to put in beets and turnips, and even early squash will do well. Lettuces, those kind of things. Most anything other than your grains or your tropical plants like peppers or tomatoes that we're sitting in our second garden now for the fall and looking forward to a second harvest along about the end of September. So, no, it's not too late. It's a great time to do it. Gardening is something you do year-round, just not a couple of months, that you can garden year-round no matter where you live, either indoors or outdoors. One of the great ways to garden indoors, of course, is sprouting. And for those that will be moving out of the planting time where you have outdoor gardening you can do, it's a great time to start getting geared up to do your sprouting for your fresh greens during the late fall and early winter time. It's a wonderful way to have fresh greens.
Well, but we actually bought a little greenhouse there. It was not that long, I guess maybe 12 feet long and 8 feet wide, got it at Costco. But, of course, my son just put in, just planted the tomatoes and the other things. It's going to be interesting to see how they do in a greenhouse. How do things do in a greenhouse?
That they do well, that it's the magic of the right temperature and the right amount of sunlight. And where you're at in Monterey, you're going to have enough sunlight and the temperature keeping it right. Won't be too difficult, that people raise greenhouse tomatoes and peppers year-round, and you can do it if you don't have enough sunlight with growth lights for the people living in the northern tiers. And it may be that that may be the only way you get fresh produce for long if things doesn't make a sharp turn.
Oh, boy, things are really heating up at a rate. It's almost impossible to believe. And, of course, when you analyze and stop and analyze what's going on over in London, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but if they really wanted to stop it, they would not have 16,000 police there in London tonight. They would have a curfew, and they would just say, you will not be out after 8 o'clock in the evening. So this is the fourth night. You would think that there'd be somebody there and the police force would be smart enough to say, we're going to have a curfew and you can't have your cat out. And instead of that, they're pleading with the parents to keep their children home and they're going to shoot them with plastic bullets and then inflame the people. And it's all part of this idea of turning the police against the people and the people against the police. Why don't they have a curfew? Well, very simply, because that would solve the problem. And I think we're going to be seeing the same sort of things right here in the United States. So I think that it's a good idea for people to start thinking of how you survive if things certainly did not continue as they have in the past. And let's hope and pray it never comes to that. But I think I've certainly learned an awful lot just planting our products here and just getting ready to see how we'll do it and do it efficiently. Well, Buck, certainly, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your website, get your information, and if you're out there in the listening audience and would like information, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. How can people get to your website, order the various products that you have, and what different types of seeds do you have? What different collections?
Well, if you'll go to your address bar and type in at seedcatalog.com, you're going to come to our website. Very easy to navigate. Just click on the left-hand side to shop for seeds. If you'd like to read some articles, browse through the articles on the heirloom movement and why it's such an important part of our life today. Or you can go to Dr. Website and Dr. Sandside on his website and click on heirloom seeds. It'll take us right to my website. But we carry a variety of things, and you're mentioning London. There's one thing you do not want to do, and that's be on the streets looking for food if this happens here. You want to be locked up tight as you can to keep from being collected by the police or damaged by the rioters. And one of the ways you do that is by providing your own food. And we carry a wide variety of seed on our website, over 240 varieties, and we package them together for you in packs. We have the survival banks. Everybody ought to have a survival bank. We've been selling a lot of survival banks as people are just getting that just-in-case reserve in place. And we sell a basic seed blank, bank, which will plant about an acre garden of fruits and grains. And then a personal seed bank, which will do about a half acre garden. And then we'll let you build your own. If you'll order $50 worth of seed, we'll pack it in a seed bank. And now what a seed bank is the seed packs are packed together in a Mylar sack. And it's sealed in this Mylar bag. It's 4.4 millimeter Mylar bag. And then it's placed inside a tri-wall PVC pipe and sealed inside the pipe so that it can be thrown into a freezer for long-term storage or buried in the backyard so it maintains the temperature. And that's your That's your ultimate security for fresh food.
And I thought the idea of actually burying these things and under the ground, you have it in your refrigerator. Of course, your refrigerator could give out on you if there's a problem with electricity, but if it's buried in the ground, it'll remain cool. Is that the idea?
That's the idea as well. If things get really bad, that there'll be people vandalizing your home, and this would be one thing that you could secure away where they could not take in a vandalization or a robbery of your home. So it's just a added security, but it's mostly just to maintain the temperature base for the seeds so they preserve longer. And so we provide those seed banks, and then we'll provide select seeds together for a large backyard garden or a small backyard garden, or what we sent you with the urban garden. And then we also sell tomato lovers packs and pepper lovers packs and herb lovers packs. Or you can just go in and click and buy one pack at a time.
All right, fine. Well, are you getting a pretty good response? Are a lot of people beginning to make preparations?
Yeah, we're getting from two different venues. There's those folks that are ordering this time of the year their second gardens, getting ready for the fall gardening. We're selling a lot of seeds there. And we're selling a lot of seed banks. The people are really getting a sense of the time that we're in. And, preparation has three avenues. One is what you have in your pantry. One's what you have in your garden that you can put in your pantry for next year. And one is the seed bank where you have something to put in the garden so you'll have something in your pantry. And so people are seeing the need to have that future covered with the seed bank. And we're selling lots of seed banks. We're selling a lot of people that are selecting the seeds they want in their seed bank, building their own personal, build your own seed bank, because they want to select the seeds they want to preserve for future. So we're seeing quite a bit of business on the seed bank as well as fall gardening coming up. And a lot of folks are ordering the large garden pack, and they're planting their fall gardening out of it, and then they're going to plant their spring garden out of the balance of it next year. So we're seeing a lot of folks coming and buying seeds.
Well, now, is this a good time to plant melons, or is this late for melons?
This would be late for melons. Right. Yeah, that most of your melons are going to have a 55 to 65-day window from the time that you plant the seeds until they start to put on fruit. So in your area, you'd probably be safe, but most areas north of you, it's late in the year to be putting out melons.
All right, fine. Well, now, what is the telephone number that people would call to get in touch with you?
We're a toll-free number at 888-866-9132. One more time, that is a toll-free number, 888-866-9132.
All right, fine. Of course, the website is seedcatalog.com. And if you have a question at all about this, why, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, of course, you've got a lot of great information up there on your website. But you actually sell a fertilizer. But then, of course, we talk about fertilizer, and because this is not my field at all. I always thought fertilizer were things like manure. But basically, of course, you separate the idea of a fertilizer from manure. Why don't you just sort of develop that idea for us?
Well, I was just having this conversation with a gentleman today. In production farming, they don't build the soil. They feed the plants. It's the antithesis of home gardening or good gardening. So in production farming, that they will rape the land with multiple plantings, and they will supplement the plants with food. So basically, the soil that they're putting in is either sterile or close to it, and so they throw down lots and lots of fertilizers in order that the plants would grow. But that's not good gardening. Good gardening is when you start by building your soil, and you do that through composting the manure. And then what you do with your fertilizer, as that plant begins to draw the nutrients out of that good soil you put it into, you replace that with fertilizer on every week or two so that the plants not only produce fruit, they produce large fruit and plenteous fruit and good fruit. So the idea of fertilizer is not to build the soil, but once you've got soil built and you put the plants in there, that you're supplementing the plants' nutrients as they're pulling them out of the soil. It can only draw the nutrients from the root system that it establishes in a narrow location. So what we do is we provide a supplement organic-based fertilizer that's made out of ingredients that are all organic, seed meal and bone meal and so forth. And during the growing season, if you'll throw a little handful of that on the root base of your plant, it will have a big difference in what your plant does. And it's not short-term, it's long-term. And it will provide a natural avenue. And if everyone who gardens ought to spend time building their soil, and then they ought to fertilize their plants as they grow.
And when you're talking about fertilizer, you're talking about this bone meal that was it lime and bone meal and what else?
That lime, bone meal, seed meal. We put organic matter from volcanic matter, which has 79 base elements in it, as well as gypsum and calcium, which provides the basic nutrients for the plant matter. And so it's not so much studying your soil and seeing what it lacks. That's what you do when you build your soil. What this is doing is providing the basic nutrients for your plants to grow on and to mature healthy once you've got that good soil in place.
Well, how often then should you add the fertilizer? We're talking about fertilizer. We're not talking about manure. We're talking specifically about this bone meal, alum, lime, certainly mineral content that you want to get into the plants. So how often do you just sprinkle that around the base of the plant? Then what do? Just water it in?
Right. What you're doing when you put it around the base of the plant and you're watering it, you're putting those base nutrients back into the soil the plant's been drawing out of it as it grows. And about every 2 weeks is good as the plant begins to mature. It depends what you're growing. If you're doing like potatoes, that as they begin to grow and you put on the bulbous fruits underneath, if you'll fertilize every 2 weeks, those potatoes will grow larger and healthier. Tomatoes about the same thing every 2 weeks. Peppers about every 2 weeks. Just a little handful on there. And once again, a trick on gardening, don't overwater. Every time you water, you're forcing nutrients out of the soil down away from the roots. So most plants like to be watered every 2 or 3 days, a real good soaking, and then let them dry out between, and you'll keep that fertilizer, instead of washing it down away from the roots, you'll keep it right through the roots and get at it.
And so you don't want to put too much in the way of water onto them then. Now, basically, when you water, should you water the leaves and wet them down, or should you just water the base, just the soil?
But the tomatoes in particular, as they mature, do not like water on the leaves. It'll cause leaf spot and browning. And so tomatoes in particular water the roots. But all watering, if you can keep watering close to the ground, two things happen. Number one, you can get by with less water because you're not aerating your water and it's not going in the air. And so if you're concerned about water consumption or if you're gathering your water from rainwater to put on your garden versus using city water, water at the base of the roots. Most of your plants will thrive better if you're not putting it on the leaves themselves, but you're watering on the base of the roots. And that's done either by drip tubes or drip hoses or by irrigation down canals between your plants. But to set a sprinkler out in your garden, let it run is okay, but it's the least efficient and not the best way to water.
All right, Sydney, there's so much to learn, Sydney, in the process of doing this. Now, if they're actually growing these things, vegetables commercially, do they still water every 3 days or so?
But no, your commercial grown crops, if you like out in the Salinas Valley area, they have irrigation that they base irrigate a lot, and they'll irrigate every 2 or 3 days, depending on the temperature and how dry the soil gets. If you have a lot of wind, of course, you're drying out your soil more rapidly. Or if you're having extremely hot temperatures, you're drying it out more. So you kind of monitor it. And if you can put your finger down a couple of inches deep into the soil and find damp soil, you're still wet enough. You kind of gauge the watering 2 to 3 days by how deep the water is. And if you reach down there a couple of inches deep in your soil and it's dry and powdery, get water in your garden. In order to get those plants to survive.
Okay, fine. Well, let's get the telephone number out. Again, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Buck, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But what's the telephone number people can get in touch with you?
We're toll free at 888-866. 9132. One more time, that's a toll-free number, 888-866-9132. Or you can find us on the World Wide Web at seedcatalog.com.
And, of course, there's a a selection for small gardens, for large gardens, or for survival gardens. And there's various types of survival gardens. And those, of course, come in a triple layer tube that you can bury in the garden. And you really need to think about this and hope you would never, never need it. Well, we're living in the most incredible times of certainly in my lifetime, and I suspect most of you, I've never seen anything quite like is happening today. This is the fourth night of massive riots in England. It's not only London, it's Manchester, it's Nottingham, it's Birmingham, and of course we'll be doing a program, a radio program in Birmingham tomorrow. And hopefully we can get some of the people over there thinking what a wonderful privilege it is to have an opportunity to talk to people in another country who are just hungry for information that they're certainly never going to get otherwise in Great Britain. Well, Buck, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Once again, it's always a privilege to be on your show and your listeners.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
To a plant. People say, I've never seen a miracle. Well, I'll tell you what, when you take this little particle of material and you put it in the ground, and pretty soon you got a plant coming up there, I believe that is a miracle. I think that we see these miracles all the time. We don't recognize them for what they are, but there's no way that this could happen by accident. It's all part of God's plan, and the myriad of things, the number of things that different types of plants and fruits and vegetables that are that you can get seeds for is truly amazing. Well, this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, if you'd like to, if you have like to advertise, it certainly help us. We've got positions for maybe a couple more advertisers. But we certainly appreciate so much the people who do advertise with us. We picked up a couple of new stations, and it's exciting as we see gradually, a little bit, our coverage expanding out across America. So if you'd like to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to become a member, and we know that many people are having problems today, we know that certainly we've got certainly well over 22% of our people in the United States are either unemployed, have given up looking for work, or certainly are underemployed and having very real problems. But if you're not in a position to help us, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We hope that you'll read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you'll listen to our talks on the dark secret and on the forbidden secret. The syllabuses go with both of them. For times like this, we have a great new, it's probably about a year or so old. It's a 4-CD set. It's called The Dark Awakening. The Dark Awakening. And of course, this will help you to understand the riots that are breaking out all across the world. And we're talking about riots in Egypt, even recently, the riots that are taking place, certainly in Greece, the riots that are taking place in Syria, the war that's going on in Libya, certainly the riots that are taking place in so many people, places in Europe and Israel, there are massive riots over there, 200,000 people rioting on a regular basis in Tel Aviv. That's certainly the riots of these flash attacks in Chicago, flash attacks in Philadelphia, the riots in Wisconsin this last weekend. All of these things foreshadow, I think, a progressive loss of law and order in our society. Prepare for it psychologically, but understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And if the people of Greece had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we would not be seeing the problems we're having today. But when a nation turns against God, God eventually withdraws his support from that nation. So you need to get our material, but you get it by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you'd like to get information on the Skull and Bones, you'd like to get information on the Bohemian Grove, we have 4 tape sets. We have a DVD on the Bohemian Grove, a couple of books on the Skull and Bones Society. We have information you're not going to be able to get elsewhere on all sorts of important things like chemtrails, or the geoengineering and the climate vaccination. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so in just a few moments, we'll be back again with the next program, an interview with Mark North, right here at Radio Liberty.
Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mark North, who's written a fascinating book. It's called Betrayal in Dallas. LBJ, the Pearl Street Mafia, and the murder of President Kennedy. Now, most people have never heard of the Pearl Street Mafia. Certainly, most people really don't understand the part that LBJ played in the murder of an American president. But recently, why they've released some of the tapes that were recorded by Arthur Schlesinger Jr., the historian, interviews with Jackie Kennedy that were actually made shortly after LBJ was killed. And, of course, with a proviso that these would not be released for 50 years. Well, Carolyn Kennedy, now that Jackie's gone and Arthur Schlesinger Jr. are gone, has given permission. It's about how many years since the assassination of President Kennedy? Certainly not quite 50 years, but pretty close to that. And basically, of course, Carolyn Kennedy gave permission for these to be released. And Jackie Kennedy believed that Lyndon Johnson was behind the murder of her husband. I don't know. Have you heard that, Mark?
Yes, I have, actually. I saw the news coverage on that.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you pick up the story. What got you invested in researching this enough so that you spent many years of your life getting the information and then, of course, writing the book, Betrayal in Dallas?
Well, in 1975, I was a student at San Diego State University out in California. I went to a lecture which they actually showed the Zapruder film. It hadn't aired yet. The public had not seen it. But just a simple viewing of that, it makes obvious that the president was killed by multi-directional fire. And so from there, I followed the doings of Congress's reinvestigation of the assassination in the latter 70s. And 1979, they came to the opposite conclusion of the Warren Commission and pointed the finger at the mob, and they recommended the Justice Department move forward with further investigation. But
now, that was a special committee, wasn't it? Special congressional committee.
Yes, it was a U.S. House Select Committee on Assassination.
House Select Committee, okay.
And it was the most intensive investigation in U.S. history at that point. But instead, the Justice Department moving forward with it, they turned around and attacked the findings of the HSCA. So that really got me interested, because it seemed like that the opposite of what had happened, what should have happened, in fact, happened. And so from there, I began investigating, and I wound up writing my first book on the subject, Act of Treason, focusing on the activity of J. Edgar Hoover during the Kennedy administration, and discovered his close relationship with Lyndon Johnson and his need for an executive order waiving his compulsory retirement during the first term of President Kennedy. Kennedy had made it clear that that was not going to happen. And so Hoover turned to Johnson for help, and he knew that Johnson would give him the waiver. And but then during that time of the Kennedy administration, of course, they were going after the mafia and all-out assault. And Hoover, in his electronic surveillance program called El Sur, he found out in the fall of 62 that a contract had been put out by Carlos Marcello out of New Orleans, and they were going to have Kennedy killed. And Hoover simply sat back and allowed that to happen.
In other words, basically, J. Edgar Hoover knew the mafia had put a contract out on the president,
yes,
and he did nothing to stop it.
Yes.
And, of course, that really is a rather frightening thing to contemplate, that J. Edgar Hoover, most conservatives, anti-communists, really think J. Edgar Hoover was a great patriot. But, of course, the truth of the matter is, he was entirely different. He wrote a book about communism. He was always very anti-communist, but this was not the real J. Edgar Hoover. We'll be back in just a moment with Mark North. His book, Betrayal in Dallas, it, of course, brings down a lot of heroes. Mark, go right ahead with your story.
Well, once date release of my first book, Act of Treason, which basically exposed the relationship between Johnson and Hoover. I continued my research because the House Select Committee on Assassinations, when they reinvestigated the assassination, they had made it clear that the Dallas Mafia in fact existed, but there was very little in there. The information they released that was about them, it just seemed like there was this big big gap in what they were releasing versus what they indicated that the information was still going to be withheld because they put a seal on some information. So I started looking at and started researching the history of the Dallas Mob, and that's when I discovered that the reality of the crux of this entire matter is that in November 1961, Robert Kennedy, as the Attorney General, went to Dallas, and he met privately with federal officials, and he launched a covert organized crime task force investigation of the Sevilla Mob in Dallas. Joe Sevilla was a Louisianan who was very close to Carlos Marcello. They were both drug traffickers and big-time syndicate gamblers. So Kennedy was going after these people in Dallas, and so he set this thing in motion. And he was going to take down their bookmaking operation, which was set up in a downtown front, which was two doors down from Jack Ruby's nightclub. And one of the things I discovered was that Ruby was part and parcel of this bookmaking operation. He was running book out of the Carousel Club. He was picked up on surveillance, so he became a subject of the investigation himself. And then on October 21st, 1963, Robert Kennedy actually succeeded in getting indictments of the primary bookmakers, John Eli Stone, Isidore Miller, and Stone's brother. But he did it up in Wichita Falls because he couldn't get gambling indictments in Dallas because gambling was so popular with the people. And so he would have to do an end run, which he succeeded in doing. And my conclusion was that they... Johnson had fallen in with these people because in the 1950s he had helped them avoid deportation or prosecution. And the Dallas District Attorney, Henry Wade, who came in 1951, he was essentially bought off by the Dallas Mob. Their bookmaking operations and drug tracking operations ran wide open under his time as District Attorney. So he, too, was very fearful of Robert Kennedy's investigation of the Dallas Mafia. And he was a close ally of Lyndon Johnson. He wanted Johnson to become president very badly. So the mob had Kennedy killed in Dallas. Johnson's role was to get Kennedy to Dallas in November 63. And it was Johnson's surprise announcement in Dallas in April 63 that set Kennedy up.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan and Chris, our guest is Mark North, and Mark North has spent a great deal of time studying the Kennedy assassination. He feels one of the major things that has not been adequately covered was the Dallas mob, the mafia in Dallas. And, of course, Jack Ruby was part of that in his Carousel Club. They had a bookmaking operations there. There were, of course, two the mafia leaders in Dallas. They had the district attorney, a man named Wade, in their pocket. They had the federal judge in their pocket. They really ran things. They were working very closely with the police force there. In fact, Jack Ruby had a lot of friends on the police force. They would come into the Carousel Club and get free drinks. So that's how Jack Ruby was. I mean, do you ever wonder how a member of the mafia was able to get into the Parkland police station there and kill Sidney Lee Harvey Oswald? Well, of course, the way he was to get in, because he was friends with the police. So you had a great deal of corruption there in Dallas. And, of course, so much of this related to Lyndon Johnson, who was covering for all these criminals and was close to them himself. And, of course, he hated Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was not going to have him as the vice presidential candidate in 1964. So if Lyndon Johnson was ever going to be president, it would have to be following the assassination of Jack Kennedy. You pick up the story there, Mark.
Yeah, Johnson knew that that the Kennedys were out to get him and that he was not going to be on the 64 ticket. And he could see with the investigation that was shaping up in Dallas that it was only a matter of time that if that prosecution were allowed to go forward to fruition the way the Kennedys wanted it to, that this was going to this would be a can of worms. This was going to break the scandal in Dallas, and the public would find out that he had been helping people like Frank and Joe Ianni and some of the other people there, and that he had essentially allowed Wade to assist these people. And Johnson, as a senator, should have, instead of working with these people, he should have been working to expose corruption and so on. But he was just a Senator Johnson was just very much an opportunist. He was just a very corrupt man who I think completely lacked any kind of conscience. So he what happened after Kennedy was killed was he saw to it that immediately Robert Kennedy's prosecution of the Dallas Mafia came to a halt at Wichita Falls. He controlled the judge in the case, Sarah Hughes. She was the woman he had brought to Air Force One to swear him in. And then Barefoot Sanders was U.S. attorney to Dallas. He had been, Johnson had gotten him his appointment as well. And Barefoot Sanders was a man who had frequented a mob-controlled social club called the Anonymous Club. Henry Wade was there as well before the fact. They were dining and playing poker with the Dallas mob boss, Joe Stavillo.
For our listeners, now remember Harry Wade or Henry, is it Harvey Wade?
It's a Henry Wade.
Henry Wade. Henry Wade was the district attorney, and he's there playing cards with all the criminal element. I mean, he was totally corrupt. But the one thing he feared, of course, is that he would himself be prosecuted. And basically, that's why he wanted Lyndon Johnson to become president. Lyndon Johnson would be able to intervene if he was ever indicted for his criminal activities. He was the district attorney in Dallas. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and he was so obsessed with Johnson. He had been close to Johnson since 1948, and he had become obsessed with Johnson becoming president. One thing I discovered through the Freedom of Information Act, where there were letters back and forth between numerous letters between Johnson and Wade before the fact, were by as early as 1961, Wade was referring to Johnson in his letters as Mr. President. He started out his letters, Dear Mr. President. And he was calling him his devoted friend. And Wade had had the opportunity back in 1951 when the Dallas PD busted this same bookmaking operation that Robert Kennedy ultimately went after in 61. They were busted in 51 by the Dallas PD and handed Henry Wade a textbook prosecution, but he let these people walk, and the operations ran unchecked.
I think, ladies and gentlemen, when you see, suddenly the police have an airtight case against somebody, and the district attorney lets these people off saying, oh, there's not enough information here, there's nothing for a prosecution. Ladies and gentlemen, in all probability, why the district attorney is simply paying back a debt, something of that sort. We need honest people in law enforcement and certainly in our various divisions of government. Unfortunately, in a nation that's turned its back on God, why should we be surprised when the district attorney is corrupt in Dallas, when the federal judge in Dallas is corrupt, when suddenly people in key positions, the chief prosecutor there is corrupt, and they're all tied into Lyndon Johnson, who's involved in all sorts of nefarious and reading other books by actually frank murders of people who in any way opposed him. But go right ahead.
Yeah, this man Barefoot Sanders, who Johnson placed as U.S. attorney there in Dallas, Johnson had the Kennedy's prosecution shut down, and then the following spring when it came back between Barefoot Sanders and the judge in charge, Sarah Hughes, they disallowed all of Robert Kennedy's organized crime task force's electronic surveillance product. That was the key evidence that they needed to bring the Dallas mob down. And so she disallowed all that, and so the case basically just disintegrated. And then the Warren Commission, of course, they knew all about this, the Stone prosecution, and they, working at Johnson's direction, they basically hid that from the public. They went through all kinds of alteration of documents, suppression of documents, things that would allow the American people to find out that Robert Kennedy had been there in Dallas, and this thing was going, wide open at the time of the assassination. They did things like, on some of the Warren Commission exhibits, there are exhibits that I have in the book where J. Edgar Hoover simply just makes a categorical statement that the Stone prosecution never even happened, which was an absolute lie, because I have reproduced sections of the indictment of Stone. And he just was allowed to basically just lie his eyes out. And the Warren Commission used his statements to hide this misinformation from the public. They did it again in other exhibits where they hid the names of the people that Ruby was associated with the Dallas mob. They left out last names of people and so on, people who were to be tied to this bookmaking operation so that the public wouldn't find out about it. So it was a very concerted effort on their part. Of course, they were just operating at Lyndon Johnson's behest. And it's an amazing thing that they allowed themselves to be manipulated by all this to the extent that in the end they were the ones who were, the names were blackened by what they had done. And Lyndon Johnson was able to essentially abscond and avoid detection.
Well, of course, Lyndon Johnson was just a totally depraved individual. He lived in Washington, D.C., and, of course, he lived right across the street from J. Edgar Hoover, and they'd go walking in the park together, you know, suddenly they're both walking their dogs. Now, basically, of course, Hoover steadfastly refused to prosecute the mafia up until, of course, he was more or less forced to in the late 1950s. Suddenly, when it became obvious that Costa Nostra was having regular meetings. But the reason, of course, Hoover didn't want to go after the mafia is because they had pictures that showed that he was a homosexual, and he was having a love affair with Clyde Tolson, who was his lover, another member of the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover was so intolerant of anybody in the FBI who might be suspected of being homosexual, and he himself was homosexual. This was the incredible thing. These people gave hypocrisy a bad name.
Yeah, and he worked it worked both ways between him and Johnson, because one of Johnson's personal secretaries, a man named Walter Jenkins, was also gay, and Hoover would, when Jenkins would get arrested in D.C., like in public bathrooms, things like that, Hoover would have his people intervene to have Jenkins' arrest kind of swept under the rug so that the public wouldn't find out that Johnson's personal secretary was involved in that kind of activity. So it was just kind of a one hand wash the other. And the fact that I think that's where a lot of the problems began for this country. And when Johnson moved on to the street, across the street from Hoover, I think that's when he found out about Hoover's private life. Johnson's wife had found the house, and they had moved in there. And then I think once they found that out, they started to gain leverage via Hoover. Hoover undoubtedly gave Johnson access to political files that Hoover himself used to maintain power. And so their power kind of grew together. And I think that's why Hoover was so convinced that, you know, if Johnson became president, that he wouldn't have any problem getting an executive order out of Johnson.
And, of course, J. Edgar Hoover had files on everybody in government. He'd get them compromised in a compromised situation, collect evidence on them, and, of course, then they would do what they were told to do, or Hoover would expose them. And this is, remember, certainly when Elliot Spitzer came out, a couple of years ago and talked about, you know, this whole collapse of the housing market and how, of course, the government could have stopped it at any time. And all the 50 state attorney generals wanted to actually, stop the predatory lending practices because they knew it would bring down our whole economy. And, of course, the Bush administration would not allow it. It's just that it invoked some vague law going back to the 1800s. And Spitzer wrote an article about that within 3 weeks. Why the FBI had leaked a story about an illicit affair that Spitzer was having with a prostitute, and that shifted the entire theme from, you know, why did the Bush administration block efforts to stop this effort to destroy the economy of the United States and pop the housing bubble to what a terrible person Elliot Spitzer is. Oh, my goodness, you know, he became the issue. What was the FBI doing, first of all, investigating Elliot Spitzer? Well, they were collecting dirt on everybody. Why did they release the story? I mean, that's not their job, to leak stories to the press, to discredit Spitzer, to cover for the Bush administration. That's the way it works, and ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it really works in Washington, D.C. It worked that way with J. Edgar Hoover. It works that way today, in the nation's capital. And you must understand that nothing as it appears to be. Total corruption and depravity. But this is a fascinating book. Betrayal in Dallas, and Mark North is to be commended for writing it. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Mark, why don't you pick up the story?
Well, you know, one of the things...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Murder of LBJ, and of course Mark's contention that they had let Bobby Kennedy know that they had the information about Jack Kennedy and all the women he was sleeping with, and he was sleeping with Judith Exner. Judith Exner was the girlfriend of Sam Giancano. Here's the President of the United States sleeping with the same woman who's sleeping with Sam Giancano, the head of the mafia in Chicago. They've got all sorts of dirt on JFK, and it's Mark's contention that Bobby Kennedy and perhaps Teddy Kennedy had agreed that they were not going to bring the information out because they'd been told if they did, then all the information about Jack Kennedy would be brought about, and people would realize really what a vulgar a person he really was. We have an image of Jack Kennedy, wonderful speeches, but he had the morals that would make an alley cat blush, and this is unfortunately the case. And there, 10 years later, a number of books came out, but the entire American media knew about Jack Kennedy, and they all kept it secret, a gentleman's agreement. After all, we wouldn't want to sully his reputation, you know, the dead president, the hero. And, of course, he was a corrupt, depraved individual and involved in all sorts of sexual immorality. Well, Sydney, then, of course, how was this carried out? And, of course, one of the most interesting parts of your book, I thought, is a quotation. I'd never read it before. I saw it at one time on television, on a video, but I never read it. And that was, of course, Jack Ruby, when he was interviewed by the Warren Commission, offered to tell the Warren Commission why he killed Lee Harvey Oswald, what really happened. Why did you tell that story, and then what happened to Jack Ruby after he offered to tell the truth to the Warren Commission?
Well, they came to Dallas as basically window dressing, essentially, from American people that create the impression that the Warren Commission was on their toes and really actually looking into the situation in Dallas. And they interviewed Ruby there in the Dallas jail, but it was just basically lip service. So Ruby, I think Ruby had realized the situation after the fact. He had so much control locally that he assumed that he was going to be. Was essentially going to walk away from having killed Oswald, but as time wore on, it became obvious to him that the Dallas authorities, because of everything he knew and about all the corruption and everything, there was no way they were going to let him out. So that's why when he saw his chance to talk to the Warren Commission, he tried to explain to them that this was basically a top-down a coup that occurred, that Lyndon Johnson had engineered this thing, and that it was the people at the top that had more or less created the conditions that would allow this to be pulled off without the public finding out what was going on. And in fact, meaning that Lyndon Johnson would just simply just walk away with the power and wouldn't face any consequences. But they just left Ruby there. But Ruby was Ruby knew that far back as 1951 when he had seen Henry Wade just walk away from the opportunity to prosecute these same people. And at that time, one of the people that was arrested was a man named Louis Ferrantello, who was a Dallas mobster very close to Ruby. He was taken from Dallas at that time by the Texas State Legislature and brought before their hearing, and he took the Fifth many, many times and cited for contempt. And then one of Lyndon Johnson's personal attorneys, a man named Everett Looney, came forward and defended him and tried to get him out of jail and beat the contempt charge. So Ruby saw that. So Ruby knew early on that Lyndon Johnson was an ally. So I think that's what he was alluding to when the Warren Commission interviewed him in the Dallas jail.
All right. It really goes the entire text of what he said was, gentlemen, my life is in danger here. I may not live tomorrow to give any further testimony. The only thing I want is to get on. If I can't stay here, is the truth of everything and why my act was committed. It's got to be said amongst people of the highest authority that would give me the benefits of doubt. I tell you, gentlemen, my whole family is in jeopardy at this moment. Lee Harvey Oswald isn't guilty of committing the crime of assassinating President Kennedy. Jack Ruby is. A whole new form of government is going to take over our country, and I know I won't live to see you another time. And sure enough, he died of fulminant cancer a couple of days later. The most amazing thing, he looked so healthy on the video that was taken when he made that statement. And a few days later, he was in terminal cancer. At least that's what we were told. But then, after all we know is what we read in the newspaper and hear on television, isn't it? How could anybody develop cancer that quickly and die just within a few days of having talked about how the murder came from the highest levels of our country, and nobody in America has ever bothered to question that. I think that certainly that one quotation is one of the most important parts of the books, as far as I was concerned. But then, of course, the whole book is important. I guess, as Mark North, the book, certainly Betrayal in Dallas. If you have a question, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
well, Mark, basically, how was the murder arranged? Who was involved, and how did the why did the people on the Warren Commission go along with the cover up?
Well, these people were basically handpicked by Johnson. Most of them were Hooverites, and Of course, Johnson had access to all of Hoover's political files, and what happened before the fact was Johnson met with Hoover, and he basically just kind of picked the people that he knew that undoubtedly what probably Hoover had in his political files on these people. This is information and files that would give Johnson leverage, and that's why I think the Warren Commission was so cooperative with him. In the case of Gerald Ford, you know, he even went to the extent of when the Warren Commission's executive session. Meeting in private, Ford would take government documents out of those meetings, and he would meet with one of Hoover's representatives and turn over documents to Hoover so that Hoover could monitor even the most the minute activities of the commission behind the scenes, so that he could make sure that when they came out with their conclusions, that they essentially mirrored the conclusions that he himself had come to before the Warren Commission even came close to arriving at his conclusion.
All right, fine. Well, now, how was the assassination carried out?
Well, basically, I think that what happened was because Carlos Marcello, the New Orleans mob boss, worked so closely with Joe Civillo, the way the mob contracts worked then was once an individual had made the decision to put out a contract, the arrangements would be made with a mob boss in another city to have it carried out in another city so that you would get this concept of disassociation, which Robert Kennedy talked about in hearings before the fact was well aware of. So Carlos Marcello, using his international connections and so on, working out of Mexico City with the heroin cartels, the Mandaloni heroin cartels and so on, who had contract killers at their disposal. And I believe that Marcello arranged to have contract killers brought in.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mark North talking about his book, Betrayal in Dallas. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney. Our guest is Mark North, his book, Betrayal in Dallas. And Mark, before we go on, would you like to get out your website? Tell our listeners how they can get your book.
Well, the book's available, in, of course, in bookstores now around the country, Barnes & Noble, a lot of the independents, just the mom-and-pop type places. And, of course, it's available online, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, a whole variety of the online sources of books these days. It's readily available. So there's no problem getting access to it. And one of my hopes is that every American, every baby boom generation American and older will read this book because this is the crux of the matter, I believe. And I think this is the bulk of the stuff that's in my book, I think, is what has been sealed by Congress until the year 2017.
And, of course, then 2017, will all this information be available, or are they still going to keep some of it secret?
I have my doubts as to whether it will be, because I think they have the power to reseal things. And basically what they're doing is they just keep bottling the information up progressively over the generations, the decades, as people die off. And so ultimately, when information is released, their hope is that the people who would be outraged by it, something won't be around anymore.
Well, because it is Mark's contention that the Dallas mob made the arrangements for the murder of President Kennedy, but with the complete help and cooperation of LBJ, who made arrangements for LBJ to go to Dallas at that time. And, of course, there in Dallas, why the mob had total control. They had control over the DA. They had control over the federal prosecutor. They had control over the federal judge. I mean, LBJ's stamping ground. So the Dallas Mafia got the contract on the President of the United States. And so let's go to Joe, who's calling us from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan, and greetings to your guests. Well, I'd just like to put my two cents into this particular discussion. And there is a tape of a particular subject. It was hosted by a fellow by the name of a late movie actor by the name of Orson Welles. And the name of the tape is The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, and it actually had to do about Nostradamus' predictions. But in that whole tape, one particular section where Nostradamus predicts the assassination of a great president of the United States, and it shows films of the motorcade going down that particular street with Kennedy in that convertible Cadillac, I guess it was. And it shows without any question or shadow of a doubt that there had to be another assassin in this particular whole event, not only from behind, but from in front of Kennedy.
Well, I think that was what the Zapruder film shows, and I'm sure you're absolutely right, Joe, but it's a little off subject, but I appreciate so much your calling and telling us about that. But obviously, we've been lied to about the assassination of American presidents. Thanks so much. And basically, certainly there's so much information, so many books out there, that we just do nothing but get confused with all the information. Did you have this problem, Mark, as you tried to analyze what was going on?
Well, you know, there was a lot of information. Just because the public had been lied to so long and just left to speculate, of course, all sorts of theories arose. And I saw a lot of that. There was just a lot of this, you get into these kind of grand, military-industrial complex, CIA-type, almost a military-style operation in Dealey Plaza, you know, because things had gotten so out of hand, you know, with the government not giving information. It's the same thing with the Zapruder film becoming overanalyzed. But I think that it all just comes back to my background as an historian and having a law degree and having been in Texas for a long time and looking at this thing closely. I could just kind of look at it and see, you know, what was in the historical record. If you're talking about if Congress is saying something like in 1979 that the mob probably did this and it was a conspiracy, then Kennedy's killed in Dallas, and you've got to look at the situation on the ground. You know, where is the mafia? What is the history of the Dallas mafia? And when I did that, that's when I uncovered the corruption, and that's when I found out about Robert Kennedy's attempt to get the Dallas mafia, about Lyndon Johnson's corruption at the hands of the mafia, and even his wife, Lady Bird Johnson. She was a former Dallasite. She had found the house that they moved into across the street from Hoover. She had, when she was a student at University of Texas at Austin in the early 1930s, when it was a very small school, she actually went to school with one of the Dallas mobsters, a man named Frank Gianni. She went to school with his son, Joe Gianni. And I believe that they became friends at that time, and that in the 1950s, when Johnson was in the Senate and under the Eisenhower administration went after this young man's father, Frank Gianni, for heroin traffic convictions as this Dallas mobster, that I think that Joe, her son, Joe, went to Lady Bird, and that your husband's a U.S. senator, is very powerful. He's known to be, he can be bought, and I need you to help him. I need help to stop the deportation of my father. And I think Johnson did exactly that, because Frank Gianni was not deported and died years later in Dallas. And I think Johnson's wife even had fallen into these people, and then that was part of the reason that that she and Johnson went along with the mob contract, and why they struggled so intensely after the fact to keep the public from finding out about their role in all of this.
What about the CIA? Do you think the CIA was involved?
I think that the CIA, certainly after the fact, I think that they tried to spin the killing of the president and Lee Harvey Oswald's attempt to go to Cuba, tried to spin it to their advantage. And I also think that the heroin cartel people operating out of Mexico City that worked for Carlos Marcelo and Joseph DeVillo, they had connections to Havana before the fall of Batista. And I think that the CIA people probably, and some of this probably interfaced with some of these people, some of these drug runners and so on, and to the extent to which one sort of more or less knew what the other knew about the other, knew what they were about. And so I don't think that the CIA was directly involved, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if after the fact the CIA understood very clearly, just as Robert Kennedy did, who was responsible for the assassination.
All right, let's go to Steve, who's calling us from Kentucky. Steve, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I've been, kind of doing a little bit of research on the Kennedy assassination here. There's been a lot of information come out recently, and some of the information I've gotten and that I've seen in like documentary films and read in like some of the books I've read and things, it's like George H.W. Bush, his fingerprints were all over the Kennedy assassination.
All right, let's get Parks. Did you find any relationship to George H.W. Bush? Many people say that he was in Dallas at that time. Do you find anything about that at all, Mark? Is that a little outside of your?
Yeah, I don't think that that the Bushes had anything to do with John Kennedy's death. I think that the first President Bush, as the CIA director, I think that after the fact, I think that people, like FBI directors, CIA directors, all who have followed after the Kennedy assassination, I suspect in there when they take off and so on, there's briefings that they go through, and I'm sure that they're all briefed on what reality transpired in Dallas. They can't talk about it, non-disclosure agreements, but I just never saw anything in my own research that would lead me to believe that the Bushes had anything to do with the
Steve, we got a terrible line. We're going to have to let you go. Let's go to Tony from Michigan. Hi, Tony. We lost Tony. Tony, are you there? Tony, are you there? Well, we lost Tony, and
No, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead, Tony. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I'm listening. I am so amazed at how corrupt my country was and is.
Well, I'm afraid that it is. Man's heart without God is wicked, basically
and
evil.
And I want to say, I put my trust and faith in God.
All right.
And not in man, because I am so shocked to hear about J. Edgar Hoover. I know he was a homosexual, but to have to and Johnson to have the president killed. I don't care how he was womanizing. I mean, I don't like that, but to kill and plot and all that stuff, this is so corrupt.
I know it is, and I share your concern. We hate to disillusion people, but when a nation and people turn against God, that of course this is what's
so thing. Well, the truth
is the truth. Amen to that.
Yeah, be blessed, Dan.
God bless. Thanks very much, Tony. Let's go to, we've got Jonathan calling from Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Good evening. I was wondering if the author, during the 90s, one of the doctors at Parkland Hospital wrote a book.
Jonathan, I'm gonna ask you, just would you mind calling us right back? We got a terrible line. I just can't hear what you're saying. I'm going to hang up, and you call right back. We'll put you on, okay? And so we'll see if we get Jonathan to call back. We get a better line there. But basically, it is disillusionment to find this sort of thing going on. And so basically, Mark, what sort of response have you gotten from your book?
Well, I'm getting interest with it's always a good thing. It's the grassroots, the talk radio. And coming up on August 12th, I'm going to be doing a Keith Tellers interview with Fox News affiliate over in Houston. And this is the whole situation starting to unravel. I think that's the reason that the Carolyn Kennedy decided to come out, release this information, her mother's perceptions about Lyndon Johnson after the fact, because I think finally the truth is at hand. And I know the book, the information in this book that I have is the crux of the matter, because it's irrefutable and it is right on point. And so I think that it will continue to gather speed.
Well, certainly the great tragedy, but why would Jack Ruby walk into the police station, pull a gun out, and shoot Lee Harvey Oswald when he knew he was going to get caught? I mean, that was the incredible thing. What would motivate him to do something like that, to endanger himself? And why did he say, my family is in danger?
Well, Ruby had come from a background, kind of a mob background in Chicago, and I think that the reason that he moved to Dallas was banning Tom Clark was attorney general. He was a very corrupt man. He started out as assistant Dallas district attorney and was corrupted by the mob there, and then rose through the ranks and became U.S. attorney general under Truman. And Truman later said the worst mistake of Truman's presidency was appointing Tom Clark as U.S. attorney general, because Clark was so corrupted by the mob.
And wasn't he eventually a member of the Supreme Court?
In fact, he was.
He was a justice on the Supreme Court. He was totally corrupt, as was his son, Ramsey Clark. But go ahead.
Yeah. Tom Clark actually was the one in the latter 1940s as Attorney General who actually arranged the first presidential. He actually arranged a presidential pardon of this Frank Ianni out of Dallas, this Dallas mobster. He actually arranged that through Truman, which was incredible. And of course, Lyndon Johnson and Tom Clark were very, very close allies. And when, 1948 Senate election, Hoover declined to investigate, and Tom Clark was Attorney General, and he declined to investigate. So they all kind of rose together. But I think Ruby knew and understood that whole concept of who these people really were. But Ruby had just about a year before the assassination, the Texas legislature had passed legislation that enabled an individual who was charged with a crime like murder, if it was in a preliminary hearing, if it was determined that he was temporarily insane or he was insane, that that individual could simply be temporarily incarcerated in a mental facility, and then he could ultimately be released. And there were members of the Texas State Legislature at the time said, this is a very dangerous law. This is a bad thing to have on the books. So I think Ruby understood that, and his people, when Ruby initially came into court starting his defense, that's the very first thing they tried to use, was this temporary insanity thing. And I think he believed that that would work, and that he would essentially walk away.
It's sort of like this fellow, yes, young fellow, who actually shot Congresswoman Gifford, you know. And they keep showing over and over and over this picture. It doesn't look like him at all, but his face is shaved, his head is shaved, and he's got this wild look in his eyes. And they show that to us over and over and over again. He doesn't look like that at all, but I think they're going to use a temporary insanity plea on that one. Well, let's go to Jonathan. Let's see if we got a better line. For Jonathan in Tucson. Jonathan, let's see if we got a better line. Go ahead.
Yes. I was going to mention that in the 90s, one of the doctors at Parkland Hospital in Texas wrote a book on his observations of what he saw in the emergency room.
I think that was Dr. Crenshaw. Actually, I had an opportunity to interview him. Go ahead.
I was wondering if the author or you had any chance to speak with him.
Well, I did, but I don't know. Did you ever know Dr. Crenshaw?
I did meet him. I was in Dallas at one of the annual events, and I met him and spoke with him briefly. He was a very courageous man. He just had the courage to come forward with what he knew and contradict this official record, and it stood up, you know, because he was there.
Well, let me tell you, he was a house officer at the hospital when they brought Sidney, President Kennedy in, and of course what he saw at that time was that the bullet had obviously come from the front, the one that blew off the back of the head, Sidney, and then the bullet that came in from the throat was actually, it hit him from the front as well. So both of the bullets had come from the front. Dr. Crenshaw was told if he ever revealed what he saw, he would never practice medicine. He was literally threatened at that time. This was back in 1963. So he waited until he had completed his career as a surgeon. And he was a very responsible surgeon. In the 1990s, he wrote the book. Fascinating book. We actually have an interview with him in our first 4-tape set of the Kennedy assassination, the JFK assassination. So if you want to hear my interview with him, Jonathan, it is available from Radio Liberty. If you're calling 1-800-544-8927. Anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that was it, because I'd never heard about him since.
Right, well, because basically, after he wrote the book, he was viciously attacked by the Journal of the American Medical Association, and they don't know why they would be even concerned, you know, so he didn't write that in a medical journal, but they wanted to discredit him, so he turned around and sued the Journal of the American Medical Association. And rather than go to court, they gave him, I think, $125,000 or $225,000. And they said, well, of course, we know we could have won the case. It cost us more to defend it. But, of course, we gave him the money. And, of course, the reason they didn't want to go to court was they were lying. And somebody got to the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it was being used to attack anybody who dared to tell the truth, because organized medicine is just as corrupt as the mafia. At the very top, post doctors are great people, but they don't understand that their organization has been taken over by people who have a different agenda, unfortunately. And we have them working at every level of government, every level of organizations. Almost every, in my estimation, almost every major organization in America has been infiltrated in one way or the other. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Our guest this evening is Betrayal in Dallas. Our guest, Mark North, excellent book on the background of the Dallas mob and the murder of an American president. Well, Mark, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I can't stress enough.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States
people were involved in the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Basically, we have 2 4 tape sets. 1 4 tape set includes the 2-hour interview with Fletcher Prouty, who was immortalized in Oliver Stone's movie JFK, and a fascinating opportunity to talk to the man who was the chief liaison between the Pentagon and, of course, the CIA. And then, of course, we have the interview with Dr. Crenshaw. We have an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, none of which you've ever heard before. They're all available in the first of the 4 tape sets. The second one is 2 hours with LBJ's Mistress. Then, of course, 2 hours with Jim Fetzer. And, of course, the Mistress tells the story about the meeting that was held the night before the assassination, the people who attended the meeting when they planned this whole thing, and Lyndon Johnson was there along with J. Edgar Hoover and people from the CIA and from the Mafia and from the oil men, the Texas oil men. In fact, I believe it was at Clint Murchison's home that this was held. And so basically, of course, they were all in on the murder and a fascinating information in the 4 tape set is the JFK update. We have the book A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. We have an excellent DVD put together by our good friend Bob Fletcher. Information you will never see elsewhere and footage you'll never see elsewhere. It's all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. So we have 2 4 tape sets, JFK Assassination, JFK Assassination Update, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza, and then, of course, the DVD on the JFK Assassination by Bob Fletch. We recommend these. And then, of course, this is the time when I have to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, we'd love to hear from you. And certainly, you could join the Radio Liberty family if you have but like to advertise, or you know somebody who could advertise with this fine. We do appreciate the excellent advertisers we have now, and we have a very select group of them, and we appreciate that. And what we, of course, are hoping to do is accumulate sufficient funds so we can expand. And we're actually picking up another couple of stations there, and hopefully in Utah. And certainly our network of stations is expanding, but we need to expand as rapidly as we can. So if you're in a position to help, our number, 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Let me recommend once again my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the DVD by the same title. Our new four CD set, The Dark Awakening. What's this about? Well, it's about the people who, under mind control, the Manchurian candidates, who've been programmed. For when the word is given to create chaos in America, as we begin to see this chaos developing in America, we have to wonder how many of these people are demonstrating in these flash attacks across America, whether it be in Chicago, whether it be in Philadelphia, whether it be in Wisconsin this last weekend, how many are Manchurian candidates. Our telephone number, if you'd like to get this four-tape set, the four-CD set, The Dark Awakening, 1-800-544-8927. We have an excellent book. It's called CIA Doctors. It goes into the same subject. We got an excellent DVD on mind control. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, we'll be with you once again. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.